Hi everyone, this is Dr. Deb Zucker and welcome to the teleseminar on embracing our shame. So I love this topic and there's a lot of richness for us to touch into tonight together. And before I dive in, let's all just take a moment to just relax into a greater presence with ourselves right now. So wherever you are, whatever you're doing, seeing if you can kind of let go of the distractions and bring your attention to what it feels like to be in your body right now. So feeling the various dimensions of sensing your physicality. The feel of the weight of your body in the chair. What it feels like to have the air moving in and out as you breathe. Seeing if you can feel just the subtle pulsation that connects you with life pulsing through you, moving through you, and all the different dimensions of that. And seeing if in this moment, as you're coming into greater contact with yourself, if you can just invite in any intentions that might be there for you in showing up on this call tonight, or if you're listening into it later. Just what are your intentions for opening yourself to this conversation on embracing our shame? What are the expectations that you're coming in with, and what are what's the higher essence of all of that for you? So just tuning in this moment. Okay. So for those of you who are live tonight, I'm going to share some thoughts and perspectives and questions and inquiry processes with you for the first part of the call, and then I'll be opening it up later for any of you who might have any questions or comments, want some support, or simply just engage in dialogue with me around anything that we've touched into or that you wanted to touch into tonight. And if at any point you have something to say, all you need to do is press *6. And I will know that you have something to contribute. And I may wait until, you know, a time where it feels like it's a good flow for me to stop and invite you in. But you can press *6 at any time. All right, so shame. You know, shame in relation to our health journey, I imagine, is something that most, if not all of us, are familiar with. It shows up as a byproduct of how we feel that we failed ourselves in caring for ourselves, failed ourselves in truly being healthy. And what I want to really bring forth in the call tonight is that I actually see shame as a doorway that connects us with true health. And I'm not just talking about shame here, but about all the different parts of ourselves that we've disowned. Our self-judgments, the things we haven't wanted to face, the ways in which we're in battle with ourselves. And what I'm hoping to open here with all of us tonight is that when we identify and we come in direct relationship with that disconnect that's at the root of all those things that I just listed is connection. So the disconnect actually points the way to connection. And the connection is where true health lies. So hopefully I'll clarify that later, but I just want to introduce, you know, kind of the paradox that we're working with here tonight. And so let's start off with a self-inquiry around health. So what are you ashamed of? And if you have something to write with, you might just sort of jot down what comes to you with these different questions that I pose. So what are you ashamed about? What shows up when I say that word shame? What are you judging yourself about in a relationship to health? What are you trying to live up to that you never seem to be able to live up to? Or maybe you get a little taste of it and then it goes away. So just dropping into that space of feeling and acknowledging the shame, the self-judgments, the ways in which you're not actualizing what you think you're supposed to be actualizing. And see if you can feel it in your body right now. Where does all of that shame and self-judgment reside in your body? See if you can pinpoint it or feel the general region, or maybe there's multiple spots. And how do you relate with that? How do you relate with feeling it in yourself? Or maybe you're not. Maybe there's a really strong habitual tendency not to relate with it. And what would you say the impact of you on your day-to-day life experiences of navigating with these different dimensions of shame and self-judgment and the ways in which you're unkind to yourself or you're battling yourself? What's the impact for you? And what's the impact on a longer-term basis? Maybe you can reflect about this having gone on for a long time or project into the future if you were to maintain this kind of relationship with yourself. And so just feeling all of that and feeling, you know, if even touching into it now might be exacerbating that sense of shame, a sense of feeling bad about yourself. Embarrassed about yourself. So just noticing, and I'm not meaning to make you feel bad right now, but just more as a way for you to contact what's already going on there in a really honest, clear way of feeling it and seeing it and knowing it for yourself. So recently in my practice, I've been noticing that more and more I've naturally been weaving in elements of voice dialogue, both explicitly and not explicitly with clients. And for those of you who are unfamiliar with voice dialogue, it's basically a therapeutic technique in which we can play with the myriad of different perspectives that we have and actually name the different perspectives as they come up as different voices. And so the reason that I've found this showing up more often recently in my practice is that I've been seeing basically what I was pointing to at the introduction of this call. I've been seeing that by really going straight in and focusing on the shame, the self-judgments, and the battles that we play out with ourselves, by starting there a lot of the times with my clients, that we really quickly gain traction in creating changes that people have been struggling with for a long time. And the voice dialogue is a way to really quickly begin to shift the patterns around. And kind of how it works is that, you know, when we're entrenched with our identification with these voices, you know, We see ourselves as them. So the shame becomes us, the self-judgment, those voices, everything they have to say, we identify with. We think that's who we are, how we are, and we believe the truth of what they're saying. Even if there might be little glimmers of not believing it, a large part of us can believe it. And so what happens when we begin to play around with a technique like voice dialogue is that we loosen that identification. So we loosen up our perspectives and we begin to find more flexibility of perspective. And we can come to recognize that these voices that have been so painful for us, that we've been identifying with, are actually only one or a few of a whole spectrum of viewpoints, an infinite number of voices that we can connect in with, different perspectives within us. And we can consciously play with that in ourselves. And doing so loosens it all up so that we begin to strengthen some of the perspectives and voices in ourselves that have been kind of bullied down for, you know, for some of us, for most of our lives or years or, you know, for a period of time where we've been struggling. And so you might just play around right now, you know, with seeing what happens. If you can kind of tune back into some of what was coming up when I was asking you to identify with the shame, the self-judgments, and those more ugly parts of ourselves that we don't really want to own and accept. If you can tune into them, maybe you can come up with some names right now. You know, you can start off with just, oh, that's my shame voice, or that's my scolding voice, or my skeptical voice. Or you might be able to get more specific of, oh, that actually sounds a lot like the voice of my biological father. And I would encourage you just to be creative with it right now. You know, it's the important thing as you're playing with this is that it's something that feels real to you and that will help you to kind of step back and objectify the perspectives that you're holding. And so once you kind of get a sense of some of those voices, now, you know, the invitation is to play around with inviting in some other voices to the dialogue. So what does, you know, as some examples of voices, what does my friend have to say, or my advocate have to say, or my inner mother have to say? Or, you know, for those of you who have listened into some of my other teachings, what does my inner gardener have to say? So tuning into what are some of the other perspectives that might not have gotten very much playtime or ear time for you? And how might you begin to see that those voices that have been so loud are really just part of a full spectrum of who you really are? And in kind of loosening ourselves up to take these different perspectives, it allows us to more easily touch into our essence, to touch into who we really are, to touch into what our relationship with health really can be. Because in some sense, the more we play around with the different perspectives, the more we realize that we're not any one of them. And so let's kind of explore and revisit, you know, some of what health can be and what our relationship with ourselves can be. So again, for those of you who have listened into some of my other calls or have worked with me in some ways, have heard me speak to shifting our orientation of health, shifting our entire ground of health to actually having the foundation be an awake relationship with this vital life energy that's flowing through us. So being awake to the miracle of what it is to be alive. So in this moment, just touching into that, health isn't just something that we're trying to sort of rally ourselves to take care of. Health is actually being a steward of this life energy that only we alone, uniquely, each of us, is responsible for. This unique expression in this body, in this physicality, with these particular visions, with these particular gifts, with these particular ways of relating and expressing. So can you feel the shift of what it is to orient to health from that place? Where we're connected with the very essence of life and seeing ourselves as one expression of that, that we're here to garden, that we're here to steward, that we're here to mother ourselves into our own flourishing and our own vital life expression, the fullness of who we're here to be. And when we do that, my experience is one of deep ease and relaxation. It's like, oh, it doesn't need to be so complicated. Oh, I can just actually relax into listening to my truth, to honoring who I'm here to be, relaxing out of all the push and pull, out of the battles that we have within, and into a greater embrace of all of who we are, which gets back to the topic of today. So ironically, I would say that we create so much dis-ease, so much pathology in our attempt to seek health. There's so much shame and self-judgment and battering of ourselves that we do in some sort of warped pursuit of being healthy. So I'm speaking here to kind of a subtle shift where it's so much about our orientation to how we're relating with ourselves. So let's play a little bit more with this and see how we might shift the sense in ourselves around our relationship with ourselves and health. So when we embrace shame, when we consciously embrace shame, we actually can come to know what it is to accept and relax into all of who we are. Because shame, in a sense, is a sense of that we're not okay as we are. So if we embrace shame, if we embrace all those different voices that are telling us that we're not okay as we are, then we're actually able to relax into a deeper ground and holding of ourselves. That's really what I was just speaking to, of mothering ourselves, of gardening ourselves, of tending to ourselves with that orientation of reverence. And that is healing. That's where true health starts. Our shame and all the parts of us that we disown are actually part of who we're here to be. Learning to relax into them and embrace them and love ourselves in them is the doorway. It's our greatness, you know, our fullness of expression is hidden there in the shadows. Our shining, our light comes from relaxing into and embracing and letting all of who we are be okay. Not only be okay, but to see our beauty in all of who we are. So recognizing that we can't actually embrace our light without embracing our dark. They're flip sides. They're different expressions of our life essence. And so all of our different experiences and perspectives are part of our journey and are pointing us towards who we're really here to be. They're pointing us towards this fullness of our vitality. And so, ironically, we don't see that our shame is actually pointing the way to this, pointing towards our vitality, our fullness of expression, our greatness, our shining. So, another way of looking at this is that in sort of this strange, ironical way, we wouldn't actually be experiencing shame if a part of us didn't know the fullness of who we're here to be. It's like shame itself is sort of an acknowledgement of the fullness of who we're here to be. Like part of us is sort of recognizing that there's more that's there that we're not revealing. And yet, how we relate to it creates more contraction and more of a hiding of who we're really here to be. So if we go back to shame actually being an acknowledgement that part of us knows that we can thrive, that we can come alive, that there's something unawakened in there, that there's something that's yearning for a fullness of expression, then we can start to shift how we relate with those patterns in which we're self-sabotaging or the self-judgment cycles that we get in, to actually, when we see that happening, we can actually look at it as a, as an arrow pointing us towards what we know is there that we haven't actually been fully revealing. So it's kind of a warped expression. You know, it's coming from the contracted parts of ourselves. And so it, as a tactic, it kind of circles round and round and backfires on us, because in it, when we get caught up in the shame, when we identify with those voices, it circles back around and turns us towards ourselves in a way in which we are denying the fullness of who we are. We forget that we can turn towards ourselves with love and kindness, with rejoicing and with reverence of this very life essence that we are. And so basically, kind of what I'm attempting, and I don't know if I'm doing it articulately in the way that's coming home for you all, but I'm attempting to really help us to remember and come back to that life energy that's infusing, that embrace of the vitality of who we are, of this unique being that we're here to steward, and to recognize that when we witness ourselves in the shame, in that disconnect, in that cycle of believing those voices, that's a sign that there's a warped contraction of being disconnected from the miracle of our life. And so if we're able to recognize it, it's a doorway where we can relax back into remembering the miracle, remembering our connection with our life energy, and feeling where our yearning to come alive and take good care of ourselves and be healthy gets warped into kind of the whole checklist of what we're supposed to be doing, and that constant barragement of how we are not taking care of ourselves and the disconnect that's there. So basically, I hope you're able to kind of see sort of the spiral there, and I know you probably know it intimately of how you can sort of be more connected with your essence and be thriving, and then sort of get caught up in those voices. Something triggers you and you spiral down, and there's a sense of having lost sort of who you're here to be, and lost that sense of feeling healthy. And there's this way in which we can get caught in a very black and white way of relating with ourselves. So kind of bringing it back, you know, that embracing our shame actually allows us to hold ourselves with compassion. It actually allows us to hold ourselves with love and appreciation for how incredibly challenging it is to be a human being, of how incredibly challenging it is to come into more of a direct relationship with who we really are. And so the possibility here is that our shame can be our guide. It can be a pointer towards our disconnect, and it can remind us of the possibility for us to reconnect. And turning towards our shame with love and compassion is often the first step. So saying to ourselves that everything about us and how we've been navigating is welcome. It's all part of who we are. And our greatness, our shining, that clear expression of our uniqueness is in what we're shameful about. And that's hard for our minds sometimes to grasp. But again, it's like we wouldn't feel shame if we weren't on some level connected with the deep yearning of our life energy, of our essence, that is here to shine and express. So another element that I've just kind of been skirting around here is that in our shadows, so in these parts that we're unconscious to or that we've sort of disowned or we don't accept, in our shame, you know, in a way, we can see them as expressions of our deepest fear. So revealing our light, you know, this gets back to sort of that famous quotation, you know, revealing our light is the thing that we're most afraid of. It's the most vulnerable thing we can do. And so it's no wonder that we get so contracted and into our small self that we forget about being this embodied, precious miracle of life. And so we have all these intricate sorts of defenses that keep us from revealing our essence. And yet, when we have a taste of living from beyond that contraction and consciously being able to love and hold our shame and other ugly parts of ourselves with compassion and gentleness, then everything really begins to unwind. And we shine more and we feel more alive and vital. And so I know I've been talking in some ways in a lot of abstractions, and it doesn't seem directly like I'm having a conversation about health. But this conversation to me seems more at the heart of health than most things that that are identified as being related to health. Because this is the conversation where most of us don't go. It's like the conventional ways of relating with health have us focus so much on actions and behaviors that we need to embody and practitioners we need to seek out and things we need to take and adding more and more to that whole checklist of things that we're supposed to be doing and adding more and more images, you know, that have us comparing ourselves to other people and, you know, kind of sarcastically making comments about ourselves of how we haven't done this or that or, you know, we didn't do this like this person did, or, you know, just there's so many new theories, there's so much that spins us around and a lot of confusion that has us relating with health in a very physicalistic way. Even if we're going to see holistic practitioners, there's still such an orientation around health being about our physicality. And even if we relate with the mind and emotions and our spirituality on some level, the felt embodied knowing of the integration of all of them isn't there. And so this topic of shame and of the shadowy parts of ourselves, this is underneath all of it. This is underneath the whole game that we play in our mind and in the tactics and strategies that we take on. All of it is infused with these shadowy elements of how we're trying in some way to live up to some ideal, but we don't feel like we are. And the images of what health is supposed to be infuse this whole really unhealthy pattern in ourselves. And so what I'm attempting to do here is disentangle us from this really kind of messy, pathological way in which we've habituated ourselves to relate with our own self-care, and to help us to find the ease and relaxation and vitality that comes from relating with ourselves in a capacity of knowing our basic goodness, knowing that there's nothing wrong with us, that each of us has the birthright of being a vital, alive human being with our own unique path and struggles and ways of evolving and growing and becoming more conscious, becoming more fully consciously embodied and relating with the fullness of who we are. And our health journey, what we typically think of as that, as something outside of ourselves, is often pointing us towards the opportunity for greater alignment, for greater ease, for greater love and embrace of who we're here to be. And then, you know, the paradox here is that when we find that, when we're able to relax in more fully towards ourselves, out of that, and I've seen this with myself and I see this all the time with people I work with, out of that comes this whole new way of creating the change that we've been seeking. So, you know, there might be very real things that we've been working on with ourselves, and we just haven't been making headway. And we've been trying all sorts of different strategies. Well, this is sort of like dropping completely out of all the strategies, coming into a direct, loving, easeful relationship with stewarding our life. And then, voila, it's sort of like, oh, I didn't know it could be like this. I could actually play around and experiment and find ways of listening to the feedback I'm receiving and honoring myself in that way. And then all of a sudden, things start shifting on the physical plane and the mental emotional plane, and our connection with spirit and with who we're here to be. There's a greater alignment that happens, and every part of us is interconnected. So as the alignment comes in more fully with us living from a more awakened place with who we're really here to be and live and actualize, the struggles that we've had in the realm of physical health that have gone on for years and years begin to unravel. And there's not a clear sort of strategy that I can say, other than what I've been pointing at in this call, that this is the starting point. And from there, all the experiments and the strategies are coming from a different place in you. It's no longer caught up in the shame patterns. It's no longer caught up in thinking that you need to be something other than who you are to be okay. It's no longer caught up with all of the fighting voices in your head, or the ways in which you're embarrassed and hide yourself, or the ways in which you compare yourself to other people, or to images in our mainstream media, or to the protocols that you've been told or what you need to be doing to be healthy. So I think I'm going to wrap up there and just see if any of you who are live on the call today have any questions about what I've been pointing at, or any comments, reflections on how this is touching you, or really, you know, this is your time to engage with me. So if there's anything that might not seem directly related with what I'm talking about tonight too, that you just want to bring in and take advantage of my availability right now, I am here. So all you need to do is press star 6 if you have anything that you want to bring forward, and I'll unmute you then. So just give a little space here for those of you who are live to kind of percolate in it all and see if there's anything you want to share. Okay, I'm unmuting. So you are now live.
Hello?
Hello.
It's me, okay.
Hi.
Hi, Deb, this is Ashley.
Hi, Ashley.
Hi. I just wanted to let you know how every single thing that you have said tonight literally has touched directly into what I've been dealing with in a surreal, bizarre way. Like, I almost don't even know how to respond because of that.
Mm-hmm.
I just came out of a time of recognizing what you were talking about, the vitality and like the, oh my God, life can be like this, and this deep nurturing, loving relationship with myself and the ability to live from the inside out, you know. And almost just like shocked that that's available for me. And it's like, oh my God, of course I deserve this. Of course this is how, you know, I can move in the world, and feeling open to creativity again and self-responsibility and power. And then, a trigger, I suppose, happened, and I felt this sudden, huge, devastating loss, and have been going through the last month and a half of that, and like almost grieving for that, and going through this near insanity about trying to, which direction to go, and it keeps coming up to me to work with the shadow, and maybe, I don't even know, 10 different forms. It's like been coming at me almost all the time, and part of that is fear to go into it and not sure quite how, and the other part is there a way to just step back out into that place, you know?
Hmm.
Kind of like, what's that process, and shame around why I don't feel like I'm able to embrace it.
Thanks so much, Ashley. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just saying too that struggle to trust when I know that there's this huge, deep well of trust within me that is like near psychic ability sometimes, like, you know, just like really like, whoa, I can trust that, like that intuition. But just getting little glimpses of it. And then at this point right now, like I almost didn't even come to this call tonight because I felt so discouraged and so far from that again, and thinking, I'm just going to have to deal with this, I don't know, this dis-ease and this distance and this disconnect now for, I don't know, the black and white thinking, you know? So it's just really interesting, and I'm really grateful for this opportunity tonight for you to share, and just want you to know how much you completely touched on everything right now that I wanted and or didn't know I wanted, but, you know, I needed to hear.
Thanks so much, Ashley, for, I'm just really feeling you as you were sharing. I feel how you've been touched tonight, and I also feel just the raw intensity of your journey recently, and yeah, there's so much in what you said that, I feel like I want to respond to, and I'm just going to see what I want to highlight here. I would say, you know, just one thing that I really appreciate about what you shared is I think so relevant for all of us, that this journey of coming into this grounding of health that is actually rooted in being really more awakened to our essence and to that orientation towards ourselves of the reverence and the love and the stewardship. You know, it's not, in my experience, it's not something that you just switch into and then, bam, you're just there the rest of your life. That actually it's kind of like building a muscle of awareness, and it gets easier, you know, over time to essentially wake back up to that remembrance. But it's there is sort of, you know, and I think it's an important part of our transformational, you know, our evolutionary journey in life of really that we go into these times of contraction and then we open back up and we go into the contraction. It's like this pulsation that actually moves us forward in life and opens up new layers of our own life experience and of who we're here to be. And so I really feel you in one of those intense times of having really opened and gotten a taste at a level that you might not have before of how you can really live from a place of really loving and nurturing yourself and feeling really alive. And then there's this contraction that happens. And sometimes, you know, when we open a lot, the contraction can be even more intense. And and another thing I really heard from what you were sharing is, you know, the ways in which you were identifying, like, those voices of shame and self-judgment. It's like you can get layer upon layer upon layer. It's like, you know, with each new experience, it's like, oh, but now, you know, why am I not back there? And why am I not able to do this? I was able to do it before. And then you get a layer on top of that. And so in some sense, that's where, you know, where I was starting with the voice dialogue. That's where, and it, voice dialogue isn't the only approach, but since I mentioned it tonight in the call, just to say, like, that can be a really useful tool to begin to kind of just name the flavors of the voices. So you know, in some sense, oh, there's that voice again, or, oh, I know that, it's that voice again. It's just showing up with maybe a slightly different message, but it's like yeah, the same thing. So it's like, and kind of recognizing in some way the inevitability of, okay, those voices are going to come in right now. And this is where, you know, and I think you got a taste of it in what I was speaking to tonight, that, that, you know, it's sort of like our minds, sort of the paradox of our minds. It's like we don't really see the pathway out of it, you know, because it's like, we keep sort of pushing up against those voices that we don't want to be hearing, and, you know, these actions and these ways, you know, we don't want to be feeling what we're feeling because it's not where we used to be, and we have all these black and white sort of comparisons going on. Mm-hmm. And that actually it's relaxing into it all and accepting that, okay, you know, I'm in a time of contraction right now, and this is feeling really uncomfortable, and what do, you know, and in that, kind of turning towards ourselves, seeing if we can access those loving, nurturing, mothering voices in ourselves. So what do I need right now? What would be supportive and nurturing for me? What can I give to myself? And not give to myself in kind of like that superficial sort of comfort way where we actually are exacerbating sort of the buffering of feeling, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But give to ourselves and like, oh, is there someone that I could reach out to who could be a support to me right now? Or maybe if I take myself on a walk right now, it might sort of help to move some of this through me. Or, maybe if I just call up, you know, this friend right now, that's just the person I need to cry with. Or maybe I just need to cuddle up on the couch, you know, or with a book, or whatever it might be for you. But to actually like, accept that, it's a hard time, and that's okay, and that's part of your journey, and that's part of the healing. But actually, when we turn towards ourselves with that loving embrace, the paradox, you know, that our mind wants to grasp onto is another strategy, but the paradox is that it actually helps us to unwind and shift our state more rapidly.
Right. I do. I have felt myself do those things, but it's almost like I've done them with a sense of shame still. Like, I don't feel like this is nurturing me, or I don't trust myself enough to get through this alone, and so I'm reaching out in like almost a frantic way, you know, or comparing where I am now to how I've felt a lot of my life and thinking, oh, this is just my, you know, this is my cycle, instead of thinking like, well, this, I do feel like this may be a shift, you know, a cleansing or a detoxing almost, and not like I won't ever deal with this stuff again, but it's like, in its most potent form, and I'm trying to have faith in that process too, that I can move through this one with ability to have some more compassion for myself.
It's like, the deepest transformation, sort of the rebirthing of ourselves, are typically the most painful and disorienting time. I just, in feeling you now on this call, like, I really feel you in that, even though I don't know the rest of your story. And and the other thing I just want to reflect is that, you know, our culture is so independent oriented that, you know, so much of our shame can be around, like, if we need, you know, like, that it's wrong or not okay. There's something wrong with us if we need to seek out help.
Right.
And I just, that was, you know, a long learning journey for me. And I'm all about just, like, We are social creatures. We need each other. And there's so much healing, you know, in all different kinds of relationship. But just to bring ourselves out of isolation, our health journey, you know, our culture isolates so much around health that, you know, we have so much shame around sharing about what's really going on. And community and relationships one-on-one, like, to actually reveal and be seen in what's happening and to be held in that and have the outer reflection that it's okay, like that, yeah, that we all go through our darkness and we all experience different versions of suffering and feeling lost and disconnected and shameful. It's like we all have that in us and there's different versions for all of us, but it's to come out of the isolation and to be held in nurturing love from others while we're learning to nurture and love ourselves is, yeah, I think one of the most foundational things that we can do. And so I just wanted to reflect that for you.
Thank
here
you
too.
So much.
Yeah, thanks again, Ashley, for sharing. I really appreciate your vulnerability and coming forth tonight.
Thank you.
All right, I'm going to re-mute you and then see if anyone else on the call wants to share. We have another 10 minutes or so, so if any of you who are live, if you'll move to share anything, I am here. Okay, anyone? No pressure, but just wanted to make sure that you stepped into the opportunity because, all right, someone shown up. And, okay, actually two of you did. So, Natalie shows that you are now live.
Oh, okay. Hi. So I really appreciate this conversation about shame, and definitely for me it's always been about sort of the physical side of health and feeling like for a very long time that I can't be comfortable with my body, that there's something wrong with my body, that I've got too much weight. And I've come to realize now that I've sort of been living in that, like, a constant state of rejection of my body the way it is. And I'm starting just becoming more and more conscious now of that, and trying to work with that. And I realize it affects my behavior. Like, you know, I try to avoid pictures and looking at myself in the mirror too much and that sort of thing. But I'm just wondering what sort of tools or techniques or helpful pointers you can give that might help for myself and for other women who have physical issues or physical feelings of shame to come to a place of more acceptance and more just surrendering to your body as it is today and feeling like you can be okay with that.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, thank you for sharing that. And I know a lot of folks can definitely identify with that in their own way. And I, it almost feels to me like kind of a meditation practice, you know, of having just as a starting point a commitment, you know, around expanding your awareness and letting yourself feel and be in direct contact with your body, with your physicality. And, you know, to be inviting in sort of an openness to look at yourself and be in direct relationship with yourself. And I imagine that when you start doing that, it's going to probably bring up even more, you know, discomfort, you know, because a lot of times, as you were saying, we avoid looking at or relating directly with those things where we've experienced shame. And so it seems like part of the initial shift is being willing to really see with clear eyes and feel ourselves with all our senses so that we're in direct relationship with what we've been avoiding, because so much contraction of our life energy happens in the avoiding process. So if we can begin to unwind that, we release a lot of our life energy and we come into more direct contact with ourselves. And with that, my sense is that some of like the strategizing and ways in which we've been controlling ourselves begins to unwind, and we begin to know ourselves more intimately, and with that can shift into what I was speaking to tonight around practicing, as we come into direct relationship, practicing bringing in some of those other perspectives and ways of holding ourselves, to practice seeing ourselves through others' eyes in a way, because we become so accustomed to seeing ourselves through these, you know, one or a few particular perspectives around judgment of how we are or not supposed to be. And I imagine you've probably had the experience, or if you haven't, you might invite it with some of your loved ones, of having reflections from other people that don't actually match your own self-assessment. And so through practicing, trying on different perspectives, you can actually almost sort of step into those ways of looking at yourself and of feeling yourself. And with that, I imagine some of the behavior patterns will begin to shift as well. So those are some starting points. It is a realm, you know, if it's very entrenched, you know, that can definitely be supported, as I was just reflecting to Ashley just around seeking out support, whether it's friends and allies or health buddies that you find or practitioners, so that you have more of a holding, because it certainly can bring up a lot, you know, when you start to relate in a more direct way with yourself in these ways. How does that land, or do you have any other comments or questions that come from that?
No, that sounds good. I like how you brought it back to the relating to or opening up to the idea that there are other perspectives other than your own entrenched kind of judgments on yourself. And so that's good. And I think that will be useful for me going forward for sure.
Yeah, actually, that just reminded me of, I don't know if you saw or if any of you who are listening saw, there was it was going around Facebook for a while of this art. It was basically an art project where I forget what the term is, but it was a person who like is a police sketcher, you know, that makes sketches of people from the descriptions people give, and there's this beautiful art project where this sketcher did images of I think it was all women who were describing themselves, and he couldn't see them, so they were behind a screen, and they described themselves, and he would do a sketch, and then he would do another sketch of someone who knows that person describing them, and it was amazing to see the difference in the images, like pretty much across the board, the images of the self-described ones. It's not like they were ugly, but they were just much more subdued, and they didn't have the same kind of life and shining and vitality and happiness and joy sort of emanating from them like the impressions from the other people. So that just came to mind in this topic of how entrenched, you know, our perspectives of ourselves can be, and how they're just one particular viewpoint, and they're often very skewed from how others are able to see us and appreciate us. So, yeah, just to bring that in. All right. Anything else, Natalie, before there was one other caller who had something to say.
No, go right ahead.
Okay. Thank you. All right. You are now unmuted.
Hey, Deb, this is Valdo.
Hey, Valdo.
How you doing?
Good.
And so I have a question for you.
Yeah.
I know shame is my primary emotion, and I know the symptoms, but most often I don't feel it.
Mm-hmm.
So I know it is there, I know it's governing my life, and I know all the patterns I have.
Mm-hmm.
And so do you have any insights on how to basically learn to feel it more?
Yeah, so, I mean, this is where, you know, it gets into our uniqueness. You know, we all experience things differently, and we all have our own interpretations and ways of defending ourselves. You know, and I'm saying defending ourselves in sort of the ways in which we protect ourselves from really letting our full vitality, our full life expression loose and show it to the world. So we all have these fancy masks that we wear, and you know, there's all the different personality structures that can explain our patternings in different ways. But around shame, you know, in some way, however it is you may relate to it, it's the ways in which we orient towards ourselves that we are not okay, that there's something wrong with us.
Mm-hmm.
That for some of us it might show up in a way of like, oh, you can do better than this,
mm-hmm.
or some of us, you know, and I know this a bit in myself, I've seen sort of myself flip back and forth, but you know, for some of us, kind of a denial of an acknowledgement of shame can also be, you know, part of our defense, you know,
Deb, let me stop you here.
Yeah, go ahead.
I understand all the different ways it shows up.
Mm-hmm.
My question is,
okay,
do you have any recommendation for practice on how to learn to feel it in the moment? Because I get the effect, I see it really well.
Oh, okay.
It's just the feeling itself is more of a mental note than anything else.
Ah, got it.
And same thing with my fears. You know, joy, I can feel it. When I'm anger, I can feel some.
Mm-hmm.
But shame and anger are definitely a lot more of, you know, I make a mental note of it, of I know I'm feeling it because I'm
mm-hmm.
seeing the effect of it, but I'm not really feeling it.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to develop that aliveness of feeling it in the moment.
Mm. Well, thanks for clarifying. Yeah, I'd misinterpreted your question. So, I've actually in my life had to go through a process of sort of consciously learning as an adult how to feel and acknowledge my different emotions, and so I know for me a starting place, and you can stop me again if it
mm-hmm,
feels like
mm-hmm.
it's not sort of where you're at, but a starting place can be, you know, even outside of feeling an intense emotion, beginning to really develop an awareness practice of tuning in to, touching into how my body feels, and sort of even
mm-hmm.
methodically kind of going through the different parts of my body and seeing if I can identify the different kinds of sensations.
Mm-hmm.
And just starting like with whatever language or images or colors, you know, it's different for each of us how we're able to access it, or warmth, or seeing if you can begin to just feel the different parts of you and feel the differences, because even if this is sort of a foreign or new territory for you to be exploring, I imagine that you'll be able to at least come up with some differentiation, you know, more tension or sort of, you know, it feels kind of squirrely or tight or... And to start there, and then as you begin to cultivate just that awareness, you know, outside of intense emotions, it's going to become much more obvious when you're experiencing an emotion that's more intense. And you can begin to feel, oh, when that happened, when I had those thoughts, the area around my diaphragm suddenly tightened up. That's different than how it was. Or... wow, I actually felt a physical pain in kind of my chest area or my throat or my voice started to change.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of really getting concrete in that way,
because
it can be very, very concrete, like physical, you know, changes that happen. And then as the concrete part develops, you'll be able to feel more and more the subtlety of the shifts, almost like sort of an energetic flow that sort of gets stopped up.
Cool. So that's really helpful. So basically, I've been developing over my life the ability to recognize the symptoms. So in some ways, what I have practiced is the ability to make mental recognition of it.
Mm-hmm.
What you're inviting me to do is to start with a feeling and expand the feeling, which is the piece I'm lacking.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's almost like from the two ends of the spectrum, they're going to come and meet in the middle at some point, you know, and they'll start to dance together, and you'll see them kind of as one and the same, just different expressions of it. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, thank
Great
you.
Great question.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Well, we are out of time here, so I just want to... thank you all who showed up here live tonight and for your contributions. It really added a whole other dimension to the conversation tonight. I really love and appreciate it when you all have the courage to bring yourselves in like that. And for those of you who are listening at a later time, thanks for joining in and being part of this really foundational aspect of shifting our relationship with health and of being able to turn towards ourselves with the love and compassion and awareness that we seem to, most of us, you know, turn towards others much more easily than we can turn towards ourselves. And to see, you know, that as we grow in this capacity in ourselves, that we're really serving everyone. We're serving all of life when we allow our own life to blossom and express more fully as we hold ourselves with more ease and love. And everyone wins. You know, we feel better and we express more of who we're here to express in the world with our gifts and our shining. And you know, our world can certainly use all of us to be showing up more fully these days. So... anyway, it's been a pleasure, and any of you at any time, feel free to be in touch with me one-on-one if you'd like more support or just have a question, deb@vitalmedicine.com. And for those of you who aren't on my list and might not have seen the announcements, I'm launching a 9-month program that I've been visioning for years now, and it's starting in February, and it will be kind of the culmination of all the different aspects of what I've been bringing forth through Vital Medicine with an intimate group of 10. And it'll involve in-person retreats and one-on-one mentoring and lots of community engagement to kind of bring us out of isolation and into the deeper support that I wish for all of us. So, be in touch if you're curious to learn more about that. And... I wish you all a good evening, and thanks again for having the courage to show up with yourself and your health journey in this way. All right, good night.